especially want to thank our team and Pastor AJ for that spontaneous worship that began to erupt. I love it when God just comes in and adds to what he's already doing. It's so important that we are able to experience his presence. Speaking of experience, I mentioned last week we had a part of our air conditioner mess up and it was going to be fixed by this week. Well, don't stone me. It wasn't fixed. This side of the auditorium is going to be warm. This side of the auditorium is not going to be warm. So I will preach more to you today because I love the cool. You know, we've been talking about the Word of God over the past few weeks. That it's true. It's real. It is alive and active. It is light. And the Word of God is so many things. The Word of God is life itself. The Word of God is strength. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, the strength in the Word of God. A couple weeks ago, our second son and our granddaughter, who was 3 years old, came for a visit. We went to the zoo. We went to the trampoline park. We went to Ed Adventure. And every time we set to go anywhere, we piled in his truck. He's a big old truck. And the reason we did that and not take Susan's comfortable car is that her car seat was already in there, and it's a major operation to move that. So I sat in the front beside my son. Susan got in the back beside our granddaughter. Now, I was back there trying to help her just a bit getting up because it took some climbing. And she was struggling just a bit. She had knee surgery not too long ago, so she was struggling just a bit. And as she was almost into the car, our little granddaughter at 3 years old said, "Mimi, you've got this." Just out of the blue. We had no clue that she even saw the struggle because she's still in a car seat that faces back, so you don't see as much thing. But she said, "Mimi, you got this." She did. All week she did, and it required less and less help from me every time. I can remember growing up being unsure of my abilities. So many things looked out of reach, unattainable, impossible to me. Everyone around me seemed to have greater abilities. Everyone around me seemed to be smarter. Everyone around me seemed to be more accomplished. But then there were those authorities in my life that would say things like, "You can do it. I know you can accomplish this. Don't give up. Push through. This is not too big for you." And the famous, "You've got this." And just hearing their confidence in me was all I needed to complete whatever was in front of me. In playing eighth grade football, it's the only league that you could play that you didn't have to cut your hair. So I didn't play after 8 years because you had to shave your head back in those days. And that would just take away all my strength. But eighth grade football, we started each practice with laps around the field. I went to school out in Hopkins area. And I don't remember how many laps we took, but it looked impossible to me to complete. But our coaches would run along with us and shout words of encouragement all the way so that we'd be able to finish the laps. They knew what those words could do for us. There is something powerful about someone else believing in us and helping us when we're in need. Well, since the Word of God is true and alive and active and light, and it has the power to give us strength, excuse me, there's no greater power in all of creation than God. Therefore, what he says to us really does matter. When God says things to us, it changes everything. What God says about us can help us finish the task. I want you to think about a difficult situation you found yourself in. The enemy is right there in that difficult situation, and he's sowing doubt, insecurity, fear, weakness, impending doom, And if we yield to all those thoughts, we will surely fail. But what if we were to rely on the Word of God to give us strength first? What if the Word of God was louder than any taunting voice of destruction from our enemy? You see, the Word of God is the ultimate, you've got this. It's the ultimate. It's the ultimate. It actually invented that whole concept of you've got this, because we don't have it without Him, but we do have it with Him. Psalms 118:14 says, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory." Boy, that's a verse of faith, isn't it? He has given me victory. What if we got up every morning with that reality? I think this would set a tone for victory for our day, don't you? So just as my coach would run along with us in our pre-practice laps around the football field, God is with us in life, running along with us, holding us up, shouting those encouraging words to keep us going, especially when times are tough. So what does He say to us? The first thing I think God says is this: we are so valuable to Him. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." That means we didn't deserve it. God says, you're valuable, that I'm valuable. We're created in His image. We're valuable to Him. The second thing I believe that God says is we are set apart. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, "If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work." So not only are we valuable to Him, He said He has set us apart. We don't have to bend our knee to the enemy's whispering and taunting. The third thing He tells us, you're able. You were able. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And that tells you I cannot do things if He doesn't. We are able because of God. See, these are truths that you need to see God running along with you in the football field laps, telling you these things. And listen, those laps as an eighth grader were tough, and it was hot. But we made it. Our coaches saying those words to us, "You can do it. You've got this. Don't give up. Push through. You can do it." The fourth thing that God says to us is that we're forgiven. The enemy loves to remind us every place that we failed. In fact, he'll do that moment by moment if you let him. Colossians 2:13, "You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature, was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ and He forgave all your sins." The whole thing changed when we've been forgiven. And if God removes our sin from us as far as the east is from the west and remembers our sin no more, then that's a good thing to do. Don't mean you don't learn from your mistakes, but they no longer have a grip on you, or they're supposed to no longer have a grip on you. Whatever you give attention to will grip you, but they are not to have any grip on you anymore because you've been forgiven. The fifth thing God says as we are running around that football field is that you are loved. Isaiah 54, the first part of verse 10, "The mountains may be taken away and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be taken from you." My love will not be taken from you. So maybe you're in a situation that it is getting tough. You need Coach Jesus to speak those words. You need to listen to those words, because He is constantly speaking these words to His people. The sixth thing He would tell us is we're not alone. Matthew 28, the last part of verse 20 said, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." He is sending His disciples off to do His will, And he said, don't forget, you're not going by yourself. We are his disciples if we follow him. He sends us out to do his will. And he sends us out with us. He is the ultimate of the coach running along with you to make sure that you don't give up when times get tough. The seventh thing I believe that he would say to us, stay the course. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. So don't think that you're getting put upon. Everybody's going through stuff. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so you can endure. It is so important not to give in to these temptations. To press on, to stay the course. Because the enemy wants you to stop. The enemy wanted me to stop playing football that year, but I pressed through. He wanted the whole team to quit. We thought the coaches were just being just too hard on us. But as they began to speak those words of life to us, we pushed through. Nothing an earthly coach can say is more than what our God says on a continual basis. The eighth thing that God says, you've got this. God is saying that to us. You've got this. How can he say that? He knows his power. He knows his unlimited abilities. And if you would allow him to use you, you've got this. You may need a little help stepping up into the truck. You may need a little help scooting over into position. But God's saying, you've got this. It may feel uncomfortable where you are. It wasn't the most comfortable seat for my wife to be in the back seat of that truck. But because she was beside our grandbaby, it didn't matter. You may be in the most uncomfortable place ever right now. And maybe you're even thinking that God doesn't even realize that I'm here. Well, that's a voice from the enemy. And you wonder, why are you in this uncomfortable position, but you fail to look at the goodness of God that is beside you. And when we focus on the goodness of God, listen, whatever we deal with in the natural really doesn't matter. The Bible tells us that we're going to have trouble. It's not like once you become a Christian that Jesus pulls you out of all the trouble and you've got just everything your way. No. In fact, when we make a decision for Jesus, when we draw the line in the sand and say we are going to live for Jesus, the enemy really increases his attacks. So if you're being attacked right now, it could be because you've made the enemy nervous that you're going to do something great for God. So God tells us, you've got this. We see in 2 Peter 1:3, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. I don't know what you're facing in life, but God does. He is running the race with you, speaking those words constantly that will keep you going to bring you victory. We've got to make the choice to silence the enemy. Psalms 143:12, in your unfailing love, silence all my enemies and destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. We have full rights to tell the enemy to go to hell. We have full rights because of our position with Jesus. This verse in my version, in my paraphrasing says, I need the naysayers to be silenced so that I can only hear your voice. Think about how discouraging running laps around a football field would be listening to someone that says, you're not going to make it. You're going to fail. You're not going to be strong enough. You're not able. And yet many of us turn up the volume on those types of words and totally ignore what God has said. Here are the loudest words we should hear when things get tough. Romans 8, 28 through 31. And we know that God causes everything to work to the good for those who love God and are called accordingly to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? When Moses sent out the spies into the land of Canaan to check it out before entering, here's what happened in Numbers 13, starting in 27. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as he stood before Moses and said, let's go at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. There are far too many of God's people that forget what God has said. Whose report will you believe? The one who seeks to destroy you, or the one from the one who wants you to succeed? Whose report will you believe? Are you going to believe the taunting of the enemy that you can't do this? You can't do this. You will fail. You will not be able to accomplish this. Or will you remember what God has said? Will you remember that God is telling you that that you're valuable to him? Will you remember that God has said he has set you apart? Will you remember that God has said that you are able? Will you remember that God says that we're forgiven? Will you remember all these things that God has said? Will you remember? Remember what God has said and turn up the volume there. What if my wife had just not pushed through? She would have not been able to ride beside our granddaughter. Maybe that's a small thing to you, but it's a big thing to us. What if she decided she wasn't going to listen to the words that God says that you've got this, and she rather focused on it, I'll never get up there. The two most dangerous words that the enemy uses in us to attack us is what if. What if God doesn't come through? What if you fail? What if you're not able to do this? What if you really, really don't have this? Well, in a natural sense, he's right. But we don't walk alone. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And we have to remind ourselves that. Now, even if you've walked with Jesus for a long time, many years, there are times that you will find yourself listening to the words of the enemy. That's why it's so wonderful to be in relationship with others. Because they'll lovingly call you on it. Wait a minute, that's not what God says. Wait a minute, why are you thinking that? That's not what God has in store for you. Why are you spewing those? Why are you repeating the words that the enemy is taunting you with? Because surely God's words are true. Surely God's words are active and alive. Surely God's word are light. Surely God's word are the breath of his very breath. And far too often we believe what the enemy has said and forget what God has said. I want to live my life not in a bubble, but with the full knowledge of what God has said about me. And when you do that, you won't fail, because victory is not up to you. See, we think victory is up to us. It's not. Our victory is in Jesus, who says all these things to us as we are running through life and is struggling through life. And it can be a struggle. People are going to do you wrong. Your boss is not going to be always fair to you. Things are not going to always go great where you are. Things are going to break in your life. There's going to be a wasp sting every now and then. We can't stop all that from happening. But what we can do is focus on what God has said. That we don't get tripped up by the wasp sting. We don't get tripped up by the inconvenience of having to climb into a vehicle. We don't get tripped up by the things that the enemy whispers to us. I like to think of us having control of the volume button. We can turn God up, but we have free will. We can turn God down. We can turn the enemy up, or we can turn the enemy down. I like to think that we would grab God's volume knob and turn it full. And we would grab the volume for the enemy and we would turn it low. Does it mean you'll never be taunted again? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean there is a truth that is louder in your life than that is not true. And that's so important for us to be able to walk a victorious walk. That we wouldn't bow down to the things that the enemy sends our way, but we would turn up the volume on what God has said and remind ourselves what He says about us and how He cares for us and how He loves us. And those things that we've mentioned today are just a few of the things that He is saying to you as we walk through this life. You see, He wants you to succeed because of Him. He really doesn't want you to succeed without Him. That's not His plan. His plan is for you to be His disciple. One who does the work in the will of the Father. And listen, we're not perfect. Not one of us. And there'll be days, and Susan can attest to this, that I've listened to the enemy's enemy's volume has been up higher than God's. And because she loves me, she'll tell me that. You know, that's the wrong way of thinking. You shouldn't think that way. In fact, she'll say, you know better than that. You've got this. And I want us to think that, yes, we need people in our life that can tell us we've got this, but it doesn't replace the fact that God is the ultimate, you've got this. God's Word, it echoes and it shouts, you've got this. You've got this. Things might look hard today, but you've got this. Things might look difficult today. You've got this. Things may look like everything is coming against you, but you've got this. And it's important to realize why you have that. Because God. Because God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He wants us to listen to Him. He wants us to trust and obey. He wants us to do all those things that He has created us for before the foundation of the world. He had every one of your days planned. That's hard to understand, isn't it? But that's how big a God He is. He has good things in store for His people as we follow Him. He's never promised that we'd never have any problems. Listen, I can attest to you, it's during my problems that I find out how strong God is. It's during my problems that I lean upon Him and see Him build me up and sustain me like never before. And I would have never, ever realized that if David and have this hard place. See, God uses things in your life to build up your faith so that when hard times come, that it doesn't slow you down. You may feel like you had to stop running a bit and start trotting. That's okay. But God's saying, you've got this. Because of His power and strength and anointing, you've got this. Because of His plan for your life, you've got this. Because of His goodness and love for us, we've got this. He wants to energize the church. He wants to activate the church. We're the member, we're the body of Christ. We're members of the body of Christ. He's the head. Everything else we're supposed to do. Maybe you're a hand, maybe you're a foot. Maybe you're another part. But it takes us all. As the days get darker, the church becomes even more important because of the light that will shine in the darkness. And when we're all in step, we're accomplishing so much for Jesus. And we don't really have time to be moved off of the task because of the taunting of the enemy. We actually recognize that and kind of just shove it off. Just shove it off. Just shove it off. When those thoughts come that you know are not from God, just shove it off. You might even want a visual that you would just take it and might wipe it out. So that it wouldn't even be a problem, wouldn't even be an issue to you anymore. I'm not going to be deterred by the enemy. That needs to be our mantra. I'm not going to be deterred by the enemy. And it's not just it's not the power of your words. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that will cause that to happen. That he will silence your enemies. How many of you need that? That you need your enemies silenced? You know I do. Nobody likes to hear from their enemies, do they? We need them silenced so we can focus on what Jesus has for us to do. So the big challenge today is to know that because of Jesus, you've got this. No matter how big it might look to you, no matter how difficult it might be, you've got this. You've got this. Jesus is more than enough. Apply His name in worship to everything that you have. And in retrospect, if I had just not let my pant leg ride up a little, that wasp might not have gotten in. Check your armor. Just make sure that you're doing your part. God could come in and do everything for you, but it wouldn't grow you a bit. And it wouldn't show anything except that God is powerful. And that's good. But He wants to grow you. He wants to move us from glory to glory. He wants us to not be the same tomorrow as we were today. He wants to grow us. And he does that as the potter does the clay on the wheel. Some of you are feeling the tightness of situations. God's going to use that to mold and fashion you. Get out the impurities in your life. To get out the hard pieces of clay that maybe are there that are preventing this whole molding process. Maybe you don't need that piece. God wants to pluck it out. Sometimes it takes a little digging. He has to dig it out. With me, I've felt Him dig at times to get those things out of my life that wouldn't be a glory to Him. And He's not doing that to punish you. He's doing it because He knows what's best for you. He created you. He knows how to cause you to live at optimum levels. And He knows what the enemy is out to do. That's to destroy you. The enemy can't destroy God. He can't destroy the God in us either. He might can mess up our outside a little bit. But this thing we have here that we value so much is really our earthly tent. This is not us. This is the house that we live in while we're on this side of heaven. I, for one, am looking forward to a new body, one that I don't have to get on the scales too often. And one that I don't have to worry about wasp thing and all those things. But God has so much for us. And we ought to look with great anticipation, not in a morbid way, but to be fully united, reunited with our Father. It's going to be great. But while we're here, His word is, you can do it. You can do it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.